Jonathan Vangelis to start the hour on the theme I'll Find My Way Home, and Talking Heads there with Heaven, which I'll play for Mr. Alan McNish. No need to text this morning saying you like Talking Heads, Alan, I know that. The Full English Breakfast Show. Dozens of Amazon's Ring smart doorbells have caught fire and burned their owners after being fitted with the wrong screw. Don't know about that, it's the most annoying radio advert ever. At Ring, we've reinvented the door phone, or something like that. Now, the problem has prompted US and Canadian product safety officials to issue a formal notice and Amazon to provide a revised instruction manual. The issue is that if a longer, sharper screw is used at the device's base, it can damage the battery pack. This causes it to overheat, which has led to property damage and injuries. But despite a recall notice having been issued, users are not actually being asked to send the devices back. Instead, they're simply being urged to follow the new guidelines. And the safety notice concerns the second generation Ring doorbell, which is still on sale. The devices come packaged with a special small security screw to lock the front cover in place, which must be opened and then replaced each time the battery needs to be recharged, once every few months. Now, the box also contains a set of longer wood screws, which are supposed to be used to fix the device to the wall. Now, the problem arises if the owners muddle these up or lose the original security screw and attempt to make do. Officials said they had received a total of 85 incident reports of incorrect screws being installed. Of these, they said there have been 23 cases of the internet-connected kit igniting and a further 8 cases of minor burns. Who's that at the door? Oh, it's the fire brigade. Yes, you mustn't muddle screws up, as I found to my peril on doing IKEA furniture.
Well, you've done quite well, haven't you?
Well, yeah.
The bed's still standing, is it?
A few years ago, I'd just like, you know, get all the screws out and put a screw in here and a screw in there, and then at the end of the day, you'd be left with a few screws over or not enough screws, and some of them didn't fit. So now, whenever I do an IKEA thing, I take all the screws out, put them into piles, make sure they're in the right pile and there's enough screws to go around.
So organised.
I know. Well, it's just, you know, past
senior
experience.
Moment.
Over to the pop master, or mistress, as the case may be.
Today's quiz. Question number one. Which is the only country to have won 3 Eurovision Song Contests in a row?
In a row?
In a row. In 1992, 1993 and 1994.
Oh. Ireland?
Correct. I was going to give you an extra point if you could tell me what they were, but we won't go there.
Well, one of them was Johnny Logan, wasn't it? What's Another Year?
No.
They must have won some other time.
Yeah, because they've had 7 in all, so
really?
These were the 3 in a row.
God, they're really good at Eurovision,
aren't they?
They
certainly are. Hidden talent. Question number 2. Zach Hanson, the youngest brother of Hanson, was how old when the trio's classic M-Bop was released in 1997?
11.
Correct. Finally, in 1994 in the UK, it marked the year where the Channel Tunnel was officially opened by the Queen and French President François Mitterrand. Forrest Gump was in the cinemas in the UK. The first episode of The Vicar of Dibley broadcast on BBC One, and it was also the first national lottery draw in November. And in November 1994, Baby D was at number one with which song? Stayed in the chart at number one for 2 weeks, November 1994.
Baby D or Baby Bird?
Baby D.
Don't know.
Let Me Be Your Fantasy.
No idea.
You do know it.
Oh, haven't we had this one before?
Oh, you've played it before. I don't know whether I've had a question about it.
I'm getting confused with Mariah Carey, which used the Tom Tom Club. It's not the same
song.
Thing,
no,
is it?
No, it's not.
No.
You'll remember it.
Sorry?
You'll remember it.
Will I?
Boulevard Princess Charlotte.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Oh, come on.
No.
Oh, you must. Ashley Tabor.
No wonder I don't remember it.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Henke.
Good morning, Bobby. Billy Bob.
$15,665.24.
What is that for?
Come on, you're the financial whiz kid.
$15,665.24
this morning.
I don't know what that is for. Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Okay. It's gone up a lot this year, actually, hasn't it? It's
Craig will be able to afford a new set of Nashes of this, right, won't he?
May well do.
Right, okay. Markets continue to go up. Some reticence on the part of investors in New York yesterday, putting more money back into tech and coronavirus cases spiralling, but they're still hanging on to the hopes for this pandemic, really.
I think it's a balancing act for investors at the moment. Quite frankly, they're trying to look through the near-term risks of an accelerating virus to the vaccine horizon. So they're trying to figure out how to be positioned for that. Yesterday, we did see an element of rebalancing back into giant tech companies, which rallied as they shift back into that safety trade that has been, of course, powering gains during the course of this year. Amid speculation, the economic recovery will be slow as the second wave of the virus accelerates, and a vaccine will take some time to be made and distributed. In Europe yesterday, Stock 600 was up 1.1%, S&P 500 was up 0.7%, NASDAQ was up 2% yesterday, Amazon shares surging, Zoom bouncing back after weakness earlier this week. So it's, as I say, continuing to play out along those lines. I think markets do need to be realistic around the speed and the progress of the vaccine and, of course, potential logistical challenges associated with it. Opening calls on the European bourses looking weaker this morning. Currently calling FTSE down 62 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 90 points. CAC 40 Paris off 42 points.
Well, that's a word with my broker.
Yes.
Well, when the markets were losing ground the week before last, it was tumbling like a stone, my portfolio. And then the CAC put on 7.5% in one day, and it hasn't come back to nearly as much as it was before it went down.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Perhaps you should be with a better bank. That's all I can say.
I don't know about that.
One where your friends are.
Some signs of disruption in Downing Street, Hank.
Yes, it's been an interesting 24 hours for the Prime Minister and some of his chief aides in relation to that. The expectation was that there would be a promotion in the offing that would see one of them promoted to become Chief of Staff, but it's thought, sources close to the Prime Minister decided that's not the way to go.
His girlfriend, you mean?
Well, I didn't want to say that. But anyway, so we wait to see how it's going to play out. The reality is that I think there's a feeling that Number 10 has not been organised in an efficient manner to deal with the issues that it's been faced with, and they've been on emergency mode for some period of time. But reorganisation is required. But who the people are to do that, of course, will be determined by the Prime Minister.
Can't get much closer to Boris Johnson than Carrie Simmons, really, can you?
It's not for me to say. I don't know what goes on behind the curtains of Number 10.
But you think he's having a bit of a rethink now that Joe Biden is president-elect? Because, we've spoken about the chances of a trade deal before, and Biden seems to think he's back of the queue unless he sticks to the Good Friday Agreement.
I think there's been some firefighting taking place at the heart of the UK government, as there have been with administrations around the world, and they're trying to understand perhaps some of the longer-term objectives and how they're going to reflect in future policy decisions and who are the people to implement those. So perhaps that's the process that we're going through. Inevitably, that's the case as you see new leaders being shown into office in other countries, and the relationship changes a little bit, and you have to adapt to it.
Well, in terms of big fish in Downing Street, Lee Kane was among the biggest. I mean, a key voter of Vote Leave, and, he's really risen through the ranks in the last few years, and also a fairly close ally of Dominic Cummings. So maybe a lot of Tory MPs are calling for a rethink, so maybe we'll see a bit of a reshuffle.
Well, they, of course, held on to Cummings after the controversial elements around did he or didn't he break the pandemic containment rules. So he's certainly seen as required. And as you say, Mr. Kane, it's been an interesting 24 hours because over the course, a couple of days, certainly the Sunday papers with this idea that he was going to be promoted and that he was going to be the leading the way in terms of the senior officials, top three senior officials, that everything that the Prime Minister would hear and would be discussed would go through these officials, and then very soon after that he's left Downing Street altogether.
They need us more than we need them. Meanwhile, the EU is getting close to agreeing a budget and sourcing out the recovery funds.
Yeah, EU negotiators have apparently reached a deal on the bloc's long-term spending plans should help officials finalise the €1.8 trillion budget along with the stimulus agreements. Actually, the European recovery plan, that's probably the most important element this time around. Vital, of course, for future growth prospects for the bloc. The deal allows the Commission to raise €750 billion in mutualised debt. Needs to be finally approved by EU lawmakers and governments. Also, also has to be ratified by national parliaments. But once agreed, disbursements from the recovery fund are likely to take place twice a year, will be linked to milestones to prove that countries are progressing with their reforms and investments. 10% of the fund is expected to be paid out in the first half of 2021. European Commission estimates the fund will boost growth by 2% in coming years.
Pretty big hole to fill with Britain no longer being a contributor, though. So who's picking up the slack, Germany and France?
You would imagine that there will be a hole there coming through, and they will need to pick that up quite significantly. So it's all about making sure that those funds are channeled in the correct way and making sure there's accountability for the money that has been spent.
Did you get involved in Double 11 yesterday?
In Double 11? You're really confusing me this morning. What is Double 11?
Singles Day.
Oh, no, I didn't get
11-11, Double 11.
Okay, no, I knew. I was talking about Remembrance.
Come on, wakey-wakey, honestly.
But not Singles Day. Singles Day is the biggest sales event in the world, though. This is, of course, in China, eclipsing Black Friday, Cyber Monday in the United States. It's also found its way to Europe in recent years. This year's extravaganza spanned over 4 days. E-commerce giant Alibaba said orders as of last night exceeded $70 billion as lockdown-weary customers splashed out on 16 million discounted goods. To put it in some sort of context, 20 times as many orders by value went through Alibaba compared to Amazon's two-day Prime Day sale last month. As well as offering price cuts, shoppers play mobile games for deals and entertained by top name music performers. This year's apparently been strong demand for luxury goods. Lots of Chinese tourists who would normally buy luxury goods overseas haven't been able to travel, so apparently been picking those up at home. I think if you look at the numbers, they'll be viewed as further evidence of China's V-shaped recovery, but also the transition to a domestically led economy.
So wondering if anyone's got any money left to spend.
It's true. Some people are doing all right.
Now, I know you're struggling a bit today because, you're rearranging the living room furniture at home, making it childproof so you can settle down with a glass of Dom Pomme and Monte Cristo to watch the golf.
Well, I tell you, normally Mrs. Potts very kindly sets up a master's household for us here. So when I normally drive home from work, there's master's signage saying welcome to the, 2020 masters. And then there's signs to the viewing gallery, the hospitality tent. There's normally a sign with a rolling buffet that takes place. But I don't know if it's going to happen this time around.
You're not one of those people who plasters the outside of his house with Christmas lights, are you?
Oh, no, I don't like that, to be honest. Very discreet in my part of the world for that.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 131.5. Euro dollar coming in at 117. €1.12 for your British pound this morning.
You're not going to phone in sick tomorrow, are you?
Not going to phone in sick tomorrow. I think the course is going to play very soft. It's going to be a very, very different type of Masters. No patrons there. Very soft course. The greens are sub-aired, so I think they'll probably be all right. But it's going to be an interesting battle down in Augusta over the course of the next few days.
Well, they're actually having some thunderstorms at the moment, so I hope it doesn't interrupt play.
The weather forecast is pretty poor. 70% chance of rain today. I think 30-40% over the course of the next 3 days. So that could play into the mix as well. Bryson DeChambeau, like me, put on a lot of weight and is fighting fit, ready for action.
Blimey. Well, if Uncle Barclay ever gives you your marching orders, you can get a job on the Golfing Channel.
No problems there. I'd be happy for that.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang pots and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lightsey has the top stories across the Riviera.
France's Prime Minister Jean Castex will this evening take stock of the COVID-19 epidemic during a press conference at 6 p.m. The Prime Minister will assess the current lockdown while announcing enhanced controls over the next 2 weeks. The head of government is expected to discuss the latest figures of the COVID-19 epidemic, as well as take stock of teleworking, transport and support for small retail businesses. Concerning high schools, the Education Minister has pleaded with the government for them to remain open. The lockdown was introduced almost 2 weeks ago, and according to the latest figures published by Public Health France, the peak of contaminations of the second wave has been crossed, with the reproduction rate of the virus being less than 1 for the first time since July 1st. The positivity rate, test rate, has also been falling, along with the incidence rate among all age groups, except among children, with the contamination rate per 100,000 people on the rise, which perhaps raises the question of the closure of schools. While the figures show that France has passed the peak of contaminations, this is not yet the case for hospitalisations, as it takes several days before an infected person develops severe forms of the disease and is hospitalised. The pressure therefore remains on hospitals, with hospitalisations and admissions to intensive care continuing to rise. Meanwhile, the mayor of Nice, Chris Nistrosi, has called for the establishment of a national curfew from 8pm to 6am. He said that this should be in addition to current lockdown measures in order to limit social interaction. He also announced more police checks over the coming weeks. Nistrosi also said that from today, the blue chairs on the Promenade des Anglais will be removed, a security perimeter will be established around the Libération market, and a special time for the elderly to safely circulate in public gardens and parks in Nice will be introduced from 2pm to 4pm. Local football club OGC Nice has closed its training centre until further notice because of a coronavirus outbreak. The club said that more than a dozen players and members of the professional squad's backroom team have tested positive for COVID-19, and as a result it has closed the academy and the first team squad's area of the premises. Reopening is planned for the start of next week after more tests. The UFC Courvoisier in France has said that surgical masks are machine washable. The Consumer Association has tested three models and found that they retain their filtration power after 10 machine washes at 60 degrees. An armed man has been stopped by police at the Béguin Hospital in the Val-de-Marne in the Paris region after reportedly attempting to carry out justice by killing the perpetrator of the Nice knife attack, Brahim A, who is currently at the hospital. Brahim A was moved to the Parisian hospital on November the 6th following a demand from local MP Eric Ciotti. He carried out the knife attack on the Notre Dame Church in Nice on October the 29th, killing three people. He was shot several times by police and was taken to hospital in Nice, where he later tested positive for COVID-19. The Franco-Lebanese businessman Zayed Takadine has decided to withdraw his charges against former French President Nicolas Sarkozy in the case of the Libyan financing of his presidential campaign in 2007. On Wednesday, in a video unveiled by French media, the main accuser of the former president assures loud and clear to have been manipulated by the former judge of instruction in charge of the file. Despite the sudden turnaround, Lebanon and France are not bound by any agreement on mutual legal assistance in criminal matters. Meanwhile, Nicolas Sarkozy has called for his dismissal in the examination, immediately welcoming the news, saying the truth is finally coming out. French far-right leader Marine Le Pen has said that she absolutely does not recognise Joe Biden's US presidential election victory, arguing that justice must be allowed to decide. The leader of the National Rally political party said that she is among those who will not congratulate the future president of the United States because she doesn't consider the game to be over. While many world leaders were quick to congratulate Biden when the results of the US presidential election were announced on Saturday, others, including the presidents of Russia, China and Brazil, have remained silent as Trump continues to allege that the vote was rigged. The owner of several restaurants in Rennes has decided to spread a little happiness in these sad and difficult times by inviting teddy bears to his establishments in the city. Closed due to lockdown, Bertrand Saint-Yves purchased 50 large teddy bears and placed them in three of his restaurants. Speaking to local media, he said it's to spread a little joy and lighten up the windows of closed restaurants, especially for children who are missing out on the Christmas window displays. One passerby, a retired local, said it makes you want to go in and join them, and it's all for a good cause, as the owner plans to donate the bears to a children's charity in time for Christmas. Finally, an exceptional pink diamond discovered in Russia has been sold at auction on Wednesday in Geneva for 22.5 million euros. The diamond is the largest of its kind to ever be auctioned. The buyer wished to remain anonymous and bid over the phone.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Do you like to go and see the teddy bears?
Yeah, so lovely photos of them, actually.
Have they got wine?
They have wine.
Golf, the 84th Masters starts at the Augusta National later today, with conditions set to be very different from its usual April dates. The Masters has been delayed until November because of the coronavirus pandemic. Players will start on the 1st and 10th tees tomorrow, today and on Friday, to ensure that everyone can compete their rounds before darkness. The defending champion Tiger Woods will play with the 2019 Open winner Shane Lowry in the opening two rounds. Pre-tournament favourite Bryson DeChambeau, who's the US Open champion, plays with John Rahm and South Africa's Louis Oosthuizen, and Rory McIlroy will go out with world number one Dustin Johnson. Football. Scotland and Northern Ireland are set for huge games tonight as both sides attempt to reach the finals of the delayed Euro 2020 Championships. Scotland face Serbia in Belgrade in their playoff final, hoping to reach the finals of a major international tournament for the first time since 1998. Northern Ireland hosts Slovakia at Windsor Park, aiming to reach their second Euro finals 4 years after their debut in the competition. Good luck to both of them. Actually, do we really want Scotland qualifying for Euro 2020? We'll have the jocks swinging from the goalposts again and digging the pitch up. Just joking. France have been stunned by Finland in an international friendly, losing 2-0 in Paris last night. Both goals came in the first half as Finland triumphed over a strong French side that included Paul Pogba and Olivier Giroud. There are a stack of international friendly games tonight, including England against the Republic of Ireland and Wales against the United States of America. Didn't get the BBC football news this morning.
Did you not? They're not speaking to you.
Slacking. Formula One, the Williams Acting Team principal Simon Williams has tested positive for coronavirus in the run-up to this weekend's Turkish Grand Prix. The team say the 57-year-old tested positive in the UK on Wednesday after experiencing mild symptoms. He's now isolating and on-track duties will be assumed by team manager Dave Redding and chief vehicle designer Adam Carter. Rugby union Duncan Weir will make his first start for Scotland since 2016 as they kick off their Awesome Nations Cup campaign in Italy this weekend. The Worcester fly half will win his 29th cap as replacement for Finn Russell and Adam Hastings, who are both out injured. And Justin Tipuric returns for Wales against Ireland tomorrow after recovering from illness. Tipuric has recovered from tonsillitis and is the only change to the side that lost to Scotland by coach Wayne Pivac.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
The coastal area is up to 20 miles offshore the Isle of Man in the VAR. The general situation is weak high pressure, 1,025 millibars over the region. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat, 1,023 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, partially cloudy, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 1 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is good, barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,022 millibars, and the outlook for Friday, partially cloudy, force 1 to 3, variable winds, calm seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Partially cloudy, light variable winds, top temperature 19 degrees today. Overnight lows 13 degrees on the coast, 11 degrees inland with partially cloudy skies. Friday and the start of the weekend, partially cloudy, highs of 16 to 18 degrees. Finally,
do not ask me to touch base, the most hated office jargon revealed from out of the loop to ducks in a row. So which phrases are you guilty of using?
As long as we're all singing from the same hymn sheet.
Very good. The list of the UK's most insufferable sayings include touch base, sliding into DMs and thinking outside the box.
Oh, God, I hate
according
that.
To new research. The hilarious list of Britain's most loathed phrases, which was carried out by a mobile network, Smarty, also features spitballing ideas, helicopter thinking, and bang for the buck. Amongst the phrases additionally making the cut include low-hanging fruit, I don't know what any of this means.
A lot of them are Americanisms.
And out of the loop. According to the research, the place we most frequently see or hear these phrases is on social media. This is closely followed by the news and government announcements. Elsewhere, nearly one in five reported hearing most of them at work. Interestingly, much of this commonplace office speak is completely lost on many workers. 66% of people admitted that they don't know what spitballing ideas mean. While 25% say they have no idea what touch base means either. It's unsurprising that 2.8 million people in the UK admit that every single day they go along with a conversation or reply to an email pretending to know what's being said, when in fact they have no idea what's being said at all. A further 28% of us admit to still being confused by some of the phrases that have come about since the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, including travel. travel corridors, herd immunity and flattening the curve are at the top of the list of phrases that are not understood. Generational phrases also has the country divided, with half of Brits confessing they find it difficult to understand young people because of the phrases that they use.
But a lot of it, as I said, is Americanisms. It's this insidious creep of American culture into Western civilization. We have our own culture and we're quite fond of it, so leave us alone. But I do like to get more bang for my buck, though.
What's that, then?
Well, you get more for... You lay out a certain amount and you get more back than
you expect.
Are you
sure about this? Because remember the mistake you said with friends with benefits?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about banging for my buck. I don't know if there's any relation to friends with benefits.
Might be. There's a bang in there, isn't there?
You're up to date. The news is on the website, RivieraRadio.mc.